Our special music this morning will be done by Sister Susan.
Appreciate the good song. If you would like to read along with me today, I'll ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And I would like to begin reading there with verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to read about a time when Israel was at war with the Philistines. And it says, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. There hath been also a great slaughter among the people. Thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he had made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And that's reading there from the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 18 for a scripture reading today. And I want to speak to you today about something that is of great certainty for all of us. And in the eighth chapter of Ecclesiastes, in verse 8, Solomon spoke these words concerning that which I'd like to speak to you about today, that is going to come to all of us. He said in Ecclesiastes 8 and 8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. That's talking about the inner man of a person, what each of us has. Solomon said there's no man that has the power over that to be able to retain it. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And I really believe that what Solomon was saying here, when he said there's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, I believe that essentially he was saying the same thing that Job said, that we find recorded in Job chapter 14, verse 15, I believe, when Job said, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. And when that call comes, when God says that our life here has come to an end, then we're going to answer that call. There's none of us that are going to have power over our spirit to retain our spirit. We will not have that type of power in the day of death. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in the second verse, that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And we are living in a land where people die. And it has been that way ever since Adam's transgression. Ever since the very moment that Adam disobeyed God, the human family has experienced death. We are not here to stay. And if you're here today and you're lost, and without the Lord, and I know you've heard me speak about this before, But if you're here today and you're lost and without God, I want you to give serious consideration to this truth today, that our lives here will not last forever. Our lives here are but temporary, and they will be, one day we will be gone. Now, we have here, and what I wanted to say about the scripture that I read from 1 Samuel chapter 4, is that this gives us an account of a man who lived many years ago. None of us knew him. He lived long before any of us were ever born into this world. And he was old, and he was a priest. He was also a judge, from what I gather. And he was sitting on a seat, and whatever that was, a chair, whatever it was, he was seated on a seat, and there was some bad news that came to him concerning the battle that Israel was in with the Philistines. And when he heard, as the Bible told us here, when he heard about the fact that the Ark of God had been taken, it just upset him so much that he fell off of his seat backwards, and he broke his neck, and he died. And that's how quickly that his life came to an end. He was just sitting there. He fell off of his seat backwards, broke his neck, and died. If you look in 2 Kings chapter 4, there is an account there of a Shunammite woman, and in the days of Elisha the prophet, and this woman had a son, and actually it was a miracle that she was able to have a son. Her account is like many that we read in the Bible, where she didn't have children, and God miraculously allowed this woman to have a child. And the Bible tells us that this child had grown, and there was a day when this woman's child went to the field, went out there to his father, out there to the reapers, and he went out there to his father, and he complained that his head was hurting him. You can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning, I believe, with about verse 18. He goes out there, this young boy goes out there to his father, and he says, my head. In other words, there's something wrong with my head. And the Bible tells us that his father had one of the men there carry the child back to his mother, and he sat there on her lap until noon, and he died. And that was it. His life was over. Now, we read how that Elijah performed a miracle. In this particular case, how that Elijah performed a miracle and brought this young man back to life, and he did come back to life and live for a while. We read about in the Bible, we read about how that, especially in the days of Christ, that the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, how that he raised people from the dead, how that he gave that power to his disciples, and they raised people from the dead. But, you know, even at that, those people that lived in those days, they're now dead and gone from the world. And David, we read about David, when David was on his deathbed, we read about how that he called Solomon, his son, to his side to give him a charge. And when Solomon came to his father David, when David was about to die, there was something that he told Solomon, his son. He said, I go the way of all the earth. And so this is something that's true and something that affects every one of us. We too are on our way there. We are going to go the way of all the earth. The Bible says in the ninth chapter of Hebrews in verse 27 that this is something that is appointed unto us. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, the only thing, death in many ways is mysterious to us in that the only knowledge that we really have is that we know that it's going to come to us. And that's what the Bible tells us also in the Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, the Bible says, the living know that they shall die. And you know, I can go back in my mind, in my memory, I can go back to a time when I was just a very small boy, just a very young child, and recall being at a very young age that I was already well acquainted with that fact. I was already well aware that one day that would be something that would happen to me, that one day I would die and leave the world. And so it is something that we do have that much knowledge of. We know that what Solomon said, we know that we will die, but we don't know when it will happen. We don't know how that it will happen. I believe it has been revealed to us, to our knowledge, that it will happen, but the particulars of it in each individual case, we have not been shown. God has not let us know that. Now, I think sometimes that we look at life and we give ourselves a false sense of security. I think oftentimes we look at life and we look at death and we look at it as something that we know will happen one day, but it's a, you know, but that's something, and I believe that we do this especially in our youth, that we look at that as something that, yes, we acknowledge that and we know that that's something that's going to take place one day, but that's way down the road. That's way out in the future for me. This week, I attended a memorial. I looked at the body of a 15-year-old in a coffin. Let me tell you something. Death is no respecter of age. There are people in the cemetery right next door to our church building here. There are people there. There are the bodies of people that are in graves there that died at every age. The young die, the middle-aged die, the old die. Death is coming to all of us. We don't know when that it's going to be. And this young man that I was speaking about, you know, he was riding in a car with his family. They were headed to a family gathering. He was wearing a seatbelt, riding in the car, and they got hit and he died. I mean, it happened that quick. And we read about, as I've shared with you here today in the scriptures, how that Eli, one moment, was sitting, Eli the priest was sitting on a seat, and the next moment he fell off of the seat and he broke his neck and he died. And death is something, listen, it's not always lingering. It's not always something that takes place, you know, over a long period of time. Sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, it's something that comes upon the human family very, very quickly. And so I suppose that the way that we think, oftentimes that we have a long time left, or that it's something that's going to come, we know, somewhere out there in the future. But I suppose that if we were really realistic in our thoughts, that we would think that we might possibly expect that we're going to die at any moment. At any moment. Because so often, that's the way that it happens. You know, we have had here in our church, among the membership of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, just recently, you know, within the last year or two, we have had several members that have been diagnosed with illness that has the capability of being a terminal illness. And sometimes we hear of things like that, and we focus our attention on those things, and we think, well, you know, perhaps this is something that's going to be the result of this person's death, perhaps this disease, this condition that they have been diagnosed with is what will take them out of the world. But listen, and this happens every day, from the time that people are diagnosed, even with terminal illness, there are many people that will die and leave the world that were as healthy as they could be before those people are gone. Death never takes a holiday. It never takes a day off. There are people dying and leaving the world every day. The fact that we know this, if you pay attention at all, the fact that we are aware of this causes people to prepare. It causes people to prepare. There are many things that we do to prepare for death. There are many people, oftentimes many years prior to where they're going to be laid to rest, where they're going to have their body laid to rest, many years prior to that, many people have already made all of the arrangements for that to be done. I mean, they've already picked out the plot. They've already paid for it. They've already made the preparations so that when it comes, that it can be easy for their family. They lighten the burden of their family having to deal with those things. I mean, they've made all those preparations for their bodies to be laid aside when death comes upon them. There are people that are going out every day, and they're taking out life insurance policies that their final expenses may be covered, perhaps that they might be able to leave to their children something to take care of them when they are gone from this life. I mean, preparing to die is something that people are doing all the time, isn't it? In many different ways, preparing their will, having their house in order, having their estate in order, having everything detailed as to what is to be done with the things that they possess when this life is over. And in all of that, too many people make no preparation for their soul, for the most important part. The most important thing, listen, of all of the things that people do in order to prepare for that which that we know is coming to us, the most important thing the most important preparation to be made is that which secures the eternal welfare of the soul of that individual. Everything else is secondary to that. I hope that you understand that today. If you're here and you're lost and without the Lord, that the most important thing that you're ever going to do in this life is prepare spiritually to face the end of your life. There's nothing more important for anybody. There's nothing more crucial than for anybody than to seek after the Lord for the salvation of your soul and to seek after Him until you know that He has saved you by His grace, until you know that all is well with your soul, until you know for sure that you have a home in heaven when this life is over. You see, for those of us that are saved, we don't have to worry about dying, do we? We don't have to worry about it. I'll tell you what, my brothers and my sisters in the Lord today, it won't hurt us at all. It won't harm us at all. We won't lose a thing in death. In fact, we will make great gain. You know what Solomon said? Solomon said the day of death is better than the day of birth. And for all of those who are saved, that's true. For those who know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin, when we leave this world, we're just going to go home to be with the Lord Jesus. We're just going to go to heaven to be in His presence. We're going to get together again one of these days, and we're going to sing and shout and rejoice forever and forever in the land that God has prepared for His people. We're going to leave behind all of our troubles. We're going to leave behind our heartaches. We're going to go live in a land that doesn't know anything about pain and sorrow and death and crying. We're just going to go rejoice around the throne of God and sing and shout His praises for all eternity. We don't have anything to worry about. Nothing. But I'm telling you something. If you're here today and you're lost, oh, you need to be concerned. You need to be concerned that death is on your heels. I mean, it's on your heels. You know what David said one time when King Saul was seeking his life? He said, there is but a step between me and death. I'm going to tell you something. Whether you've got a wicked king named Saul chasing you or not, there is just a step between you and death. It's true for all of us. When it's going to come, how it's going to come, how it's going to happen, what day it's going to be, we don't know those things, but we do know that it's going to happen. We are aware of that. And so listen, you need to make your preparations. You need to be able to look at death and say, where is your sting? Where is your victory? You need to be able to look at death and say, listen, if the Lord calls me out of this life right now, it's going to be all right because I settled that many years ago, or whenever that it was, I settled that with the Lord, and it's going to be okay because I'm just going to go home and be with God. That's the way I look at it. That's the way that the children of God. I was talking to Brother Lowe one time, and I still remember what he said. He said, I believe that it'll be a great experience. Well, it will be, won't it, for those who are saved? It'll be a great experience. I mean, listen, the moment that life leaves this body, the moment that our spirit departs this body, we're going to see the Lord. I mean, we're going to go home immediately to be with Him.
and will the toils of life repay? Just one glimpse of the Lord in glory, and will the toils of life repay? But when I was lost, I'll tell you my experience. When I was lost, the thought of death scared me horribly. I mean, it brought great fear to me. It brought great fear and trembling to my soul, because I knew that I wasn't right. I knew that I wasn't ready, and it scared me. The thought of death scared me, tremendously. And I wasn't only afraid like we may have natural fears. I mean, I'm talking about fearing for my soul. Listen, I want you to know something today. If you die lost and in your sins, when you die and leave this world, you're going to go to a place called hell, where the Bible says there's an unquenchable fire that burns forever and forever. It's a place of outer darkness and eternal torment, and there's no escape. No escape for those who go to that awful place. I've known so many people, and I'm sure that you have too. I've known so many people in my life. They weren't even sick. They weren't even sick. They were healthy. They were living one moment, and they were gone the next. Athletes, you know, people that we often look at as being in tip-top physical shape, and people look at that and they get this false sense of security. Look how healthy that person is, while they work out and they do this and they do that. I'll tell you what, I said this one time, and I believe it. I believe bodily exercise is good. But you know what? The very most that you can accomplish by it is you may be the most healthy looking corpse that there's ever been. We are going to die. We're going to die. It's been appointed unto us once to die. And after this, the judgment. And Jesus, in the 8th chapter of John, made this statement to a group of unbelieving Jews. He said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. I'm going to tell you something today, lost friend. If you don't put your trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, you're going to die in your sins. And you're going to spend an eternity in torment apart from God. There won't be any more opportunities. You have the opportunity now, to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let him convince you that this is something that you can just, you know, I'll just wait and do this next week. I'll wait and do this next month. I'll wait and do this after I get finished with some things that I want to do. Don't listen to that, because tomorrow is promised to none of us. It's promised to none of us. I'd like for us to have a song, Brother Strode, if you would. I want to say, if you're here today and you're lost, you want to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul, we invite you to come and pray here at the mourner's bench. If you feel like you need to pray where you're at, the important thing is that you go to Jesus, that you go to the Lord and you seek Him for the salvation of your soul. Number